Blog Talk Radio. From my supplication, attend to me and hear me.
I am restless in my complaint and more noisily because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. Joy, O Lord, and divide their tongues. I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go around in on its walls. Iniquity and trouble are also in the midst of it. Destruction is in its midst. Oppression and deceit do not depart from its streets. For it is not an enemy who reproaches me. Then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me. Then I could hide from him. But it was you, a man, my equal, my companion, my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked to the house of God in the throng. Let death seize them. Let them go down alive into hell. For wickedness is in their dwelling and among them. And this is a psalm of David as he was fleeing Saul, someone who he cared about, someone who he, you know, would play to his soul. And yet he tried to slay him, tried to kill him, because he, being disobedient, had lost his anointing. We do not want to lose our anointing because of disobedience to God. And just a life lesson from Psalm 55 and 6, oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. David wanted to be at rest. He was tired. We all get tired. We get overwhelmed. You know, and I'm going to read that again. You know, give an ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication. Attend to me and hear me. I am restless in my complaint and more noisily because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. Bring down trouble upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is severely pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. So I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. Indeed, I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. David was tired. He was tired of running from someone he cared about, because he knew, I'm not killing him. He is God's anointed. And he was not going to let anybody in his employ, anybody who worked with him, any of the men of valor kills all, opportunity after opportunity, but he did not do it. You know, I love Psalms. And then it goes on to say, when the walls close in and the floor gives way, we often wish we could be anywhere but where God has put us. Trusting God, however, means looking beyond what we can see and what God sees. And if we go into our proverb, it says this, the heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on foolishness. And we cannot be fooled. We got to quit feeding on foolishness, because the enemy wants us to be afraid. He wants us to say things and do things that are against God, because that's his job. He's on his assignment. We got to get on ours, rebuking and binding him and his minions and sending their happy little hindies right back to hell from whence they came. Because all their job is to do is to kill, steal, and destroy. To kill and destroy families, using in our children. Our babies are suffering. Why? Because of us and the things we have done as adults that have caused all kind of confusion in these children. We create our problems and understand that every child that we want to say, oh, well, they're not this and they're not that, that's the future. Children are our future. And if we don't start treating them better, we're going to have a pretty messed up future. When you have taught children to be narcissistic and hateful because we don't like this person or we don't like that race or we don't like this and we don't like that. Too much we don't like instead of loving your neighbor as you love yourself. And as we continue in Proverbs 15:15-17, it says, all the days of the afflicted are evil, but he who is of a merry heart has a continual feast. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fatted calf with hate. That's a word all by itself. We got to love each other, family. And as we go through our word this morning, we're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 8 and chapter 9. We have to love. It's all like God keeps putting it in my spirit. Children are under attack by each other and the police. You know, you have kids killing kids. You have brutality. You have so much craziness going on that we have got to pray. If my people, and that's what Jeremiah said, if my people, aren't we God's people? And shouldn't we be on our knees praying continually for our nation, for our children, for our families? We got to pray for our churches, our political leaders. We got to pray. So many times we forget to pray. Righteous prayer avail much, but we got to do it. Prayer can't avail much if you're not praying. Before you get up in the morning, before you go to sleep at night, all through the day, you can pray. Even when you're just in your car, just pray. Even when you're on your job, just pray. You don't have to fall out and hands in the air and all that. You can talk to God in your mind. That's the one cool thing about God is we can talk to him anytime, even in our sleep, because you don't have to move your lips to talk to God. You don't have to scream out loud and shout and fall out to talk to God. You can just have a conversation with God. And the one cool thing is you can do it in your head and nobody knows you're praying. But you and God, you can speak in tongues. You can do all kind of things in your spirit all during the day. I pray all day long. I have a song in my heart all day long. And nobody even knows that I'm praying for them. When I walk in my homes of the clients that I have, I pray over their home when I walk through the door. I pray over them as I go through my day, cover them from the crowns of their heads to the soles of their feet, and that they know Jesus. You got to take his light with you wherever you go. And let's get in this word this morning again. I had to say what God put in my heart to say. Somebody's hurting today, and we need to pray. Somebody is in need of a word, and we need to speak it. Somebody is just in need of some joy in their heart, and we need to be the ones to bring it. Joy of the Lord is our strength. We got to have joy. In order to have peace, you got to have joy. We need all the fruit of the Spirit because God is love, and he wants us to take it wherever we go. And we have to bind those spirits that attack us in the name of Jesus. That headache, I bind in the name of Jesus. That spirit of attack, I bind in the name of Jesus because God's word is going forth. The wicked think they can stop what God has started, and you cannot. So keep it moving. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there are those that will try to attack you spiritually, and you feel it when you hit a headache all of a sudden. Your head starts to hurt, and you know you have no reason for a headache. That's when you have to bind that spirit that tries to come in to create confusion, to give you pain. Well, I bind you. And you know Not today. Now let's keep it moving. 1 Samuel chapter 8. Now it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. The name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second Abijah. They were judges in Beersheba, but the sons did not walk in the ways they turned aside after dishonest gain, took bribes, and perverted just together, and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, look, you are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. So Samuel prayed to the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, heed the voice of the people in all that they say to you. For they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them according to all the works which they have done since the day I brought them up out of Egypt, even to this day, when which they have forsaken me and served other gods. So they are doing to you also. Now, therefore, heed their voice. However, solemnly forewarn them and show them the behavior of the king who will reign over them. So Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who asked him for a king. And he said, this will be the behavior of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them to his own chariots and to be his horsemen. Some will run before his chariots. He will appoint captains over his thousands and captains over his fifties, will set some to plow his ground and reap his harvest, and some to make his weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers, cooks, and bakers, and will take the best of your fields, your vineyards, and your olive groves, and give them to his servants. He will take a tenth of your grain and your vintage and give it to his officers and servants. And he will take your male servants, your female servants, your finest young men, and your donkeys, and put them to his work. He will take a tenth of your sheep, and you will be his servant. And you will cry out in that day because of your king whom you have chosen for yourself. And the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, no, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battle. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he repeated them in the hearing of the Lord. So the Lord said to Samuel, heed their voice and make them a king. And Samuel said to the men of Israel, every man go to his city. There was a man in Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abel, the son of Zeror, the son of Becheroth, the son of Ephek, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. And he had a choice, an handsome son whose name was Saul. There was not a more handsome person than he among the children of Israel. From his shoulders upward, he was taller than any of the people. Now the donkeys of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to his son Saul, please take one of the servants with you and arise and go and look for the donkeys. So he passed through the mountains of Ephraim and through the land of Shalisha, but they did not find them. Then they passed through the land of Shalom, and they were not there. Then he passed through the land of the Benjamites, but they did not find them. Then they came to the land of Zuph. Saul said to his servant who was with him, come, let us return, lest my father cease caring about the donkeys and become worried about us. And he said to him, look now, there is in this city a man of God, and he is an honorable man. All that he says surely comes to pass. So let us go there, and perhaps he can show us the way that we should go. Then Saul said to his servant, but look, if we go, what shall we bring the man for the bread in our vessel? And there is no present to bring to the man of God. What do we have? And the servant answered Saul again and said, look, I have here a hand at hand, 1/4 of a shekel of silver. I would give that to the man of God to tell us our way. Formerly in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, he spoke thus, come, let us go to the seer. For he who is now called a prophet was formerly called a seer. Then Saul said to his servant, well said, come, let us go. So they went to the city where the man of God was. And they went up the hill to the city. They met some young women going out to draw water and said to them, is the seer here? And they answered them and said, yes, there he is just ahead of you. Hurry now, for today he came to this city because there is a sacrifice of the people today on the high place. As soon as you come into the city, you will surely find him before he goes up to the high place to eat. For the people will not eat until he comes, because he must bless the sacrifice. Afterwards, four invited will eat. Now, therefore, go up, for about this time you will find him. So they went up to the city. There was Samuel coming out toward them on his way up to the high place. Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear, the day before Saul came, saying, tomorrow about this time I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin, and you shall anoint him commander over my people Israel, that he may save my people from the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people because their cry has come to me. So when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said to him, there he is, the man of whom I spoke to you. This one shall reign over my people. Then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, please tell me, where is the seer's house? Samuel answered Saul and said, I am the seer. Go up before me to the high place where you shall eat with me today. And tomorrow I will let you go and will tell you all that is in your heart. But as for your donkeys, they were lost 3 days ago. Do not be anxious about them, for they have been found. And on whom is all the desire of Israel? It is not on you and on all your father's house. Is it not on you and on all your father's house? Answered and said, am I not a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel? And my family, the least of all the families of the tribes of Benjamin. Why then do you speak like this to me? Now Samuel took Saul and his servants and brought them into the hall, had them set in the place of honor among those who were invited. There were about 30 persons, and Samuel said to the cook, bring the portion which I gave you, of which I said to you, set it apart. So the cook took up the thigh with its upper parts and set it before Saul. And Samuel said, here it is what you kept back. He said, I invite the people. So Saul ate with Samuel that day. When they had come down from the high place to the city, Samuel spoke with Saul on the top of the house. They arose early, and it was about the dawning of the day that Samuel called to Saul on the top of the house, saying, get up, that I may send you on your way. And Saul arose, and both of them went outside, he and Samuel. As they were going down to the outskirts of the city, Samuel said to Saul, tell the servant to go on ahead of us. And he went on, but you stand here for a while, that I may announce to you the word of God. Always sends a prophet when there is a word that he wants you to have, a word he wants you to hear, a word that he wants to touch your soul. And he sent Samuel. He actually sent Saul to Samuel. He took the donkeys to get Saul where he needed him to be. In a life lesson from 1 Samuel chapter 8, it says, in verse 3, they turned aside after dishonest gain, took bribes, and perverted justice. As great and as godly as Samuel was, he did not do a much better job as father than did Eli. Regardless of how involved in ministry we are, we cannot afford to neglect this. Can't be out there giving words to other people's children. and not to our own. You know, it starts at home. Ministry starts at home. We got to pray over our children just as we pray over others. We got to anoint our children just as we anoint others. We got to understand that what we do for God. But we still have to take care of home. And as we continue, 1 Samuel 8 and 6, give us a king to judge us. So Samuel prayed to the Lord. Even in his old age, Samuel sought to hear the voice of God when confronted with challenge. He didn't think he knew it all. He went to the Lord for guidance. So should we. We should always trust God and say, Lord, what would you have me do? What would you have me say? What do you want me to do? Not what I want to do, but what do you want and need me to do? Because he knew that it was wrong for these people to be asking for a king. Let's continue. Verse 20, 19 through 20 says, we will have a king over us that we also may be like all the nations. Sometimes we want to be like the Joneses. We want to be like everybody else when it's not meant for us to be like everybody else. The word tells us to set ourselves apart. And they wanted to be like everybody else because they got a king, we want a king. You know, my mom used to say, it's because they want to jump off a bridge and you're going to jump off a bridge too. We got to be careful. We want to be like everybody else when that's not our destiny or where we're supposed to, not what God told us to do. And as we continue in this word, it says this, in every culture and time, God's people feel a tug to be like those around them, to conform to the customs of their unbelieving neighbors. But Jesus tells us, do not be like them. Matthew 6 and 8. And if we go to Matthew 6 and 8, it tells us, therefore, do not be like them. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. And then he tells us how to pray. And I'm going to go back up to verse 5, and it says, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetition as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. And that's the context of it. We can't be like everybody else, even the folks of the church. You know, just because somebody can outpray everybody, they can pray and pray and pray and pray for hours at a time. If that's not your gift, you pray what you can pray. God hears your prayer just like he is there. But if your job is to intercede, then you might be on your knees all day because you're interceding. You're standing in the gap. You're lifting up the name of Jesus, and you're calling out names of those that are in captivity of sin, and that could be captivity of jail, captivity of sin. You are calling it out. Everybody has an assignment. But the thing is, he's saying the hypocrites. He's not talking about men and women of God. He's talking about the hypocrites that just like to holler and hoop and run up and down the aisles of the church to make sure that they're seen by everybody. Prayer warriors that may be walking around the church, praying and covering the four corners of the wall. Covering from the front to the back, from the basement to the attic, our basement to the balcony. We got to pray. But this is what Jesus said. Therefore, do not be like them. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. God knows what we need. And they did not need a king. They wanted a king. And he goes on to tell us. He says, I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin, and you shall anoint him commander over my people, Israel. God often uses misinformation to bring us to the way the very place where he will show us his will. The dark moments of life will last only so long as is necessary for God to accomplish his purpose in us, caught up in Jesus. And God will send a storm to get your attention. Hallelujah. But understand, for every storm God sends you, he sends you a way to come through. He always does if you believe and have faith. 1 Samuel 9:21, am I not a Benjamite, of the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Like Gideon before him, Saul thought of himself as small, unimportant, and powerless. But God loves to use the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And we're going to go over to 1 Corinthians 1, verse 27. And it says simply this, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And y'all know me, I have to put it in context. And it just says, glory only in the Lord. For you see, and this is verse 26, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not to bring to nothing, the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. And that's why we put these words that we have in context. And let's get into our New Testament words. And we are coming out of Luke chapter 22, verses 1 through 23. And it says this, now the feast of unleavened bread drew near, which is called Passover. And the chief priests and the scribes thought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then Satan entered Judas's surname Iscariot, who was numbered among the 12. So he went his way and confirmed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him to them. And they were glad and agreed to give him money. So he promised and sought opportunity to betray him to them in the absence of the multitude. Then it came the day of unleavened bread. Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat. So they said to him, where do you want us to prepare? And he said to them, behold, when you have entered the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house which he enters. Then you shall say to the master of the house, the teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? Then he will show you a large furnished upper room there, make ready. So they went, found it just as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. When the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and divided it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on the table, and truly the Son of Man goes as it has been determined. But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. Then they began to question among themselves which of them it was who would do this thing. As we know, on yesterday was Communion Sunday. And we had communion at our churches. And every time I hear this word, and he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. The Lord gave himself, his body. Let us not take communion lightly. And let us not take the sacrifice of Christ lightly. He died for us. And when you do that in remembrance, it should be done with reverence. It's not just a cracker and a grape juice. It represents the body of Christ and the blood that he shed for you and I. And a life lesson from Luke chapter 22, verse 3. Satan entered Judas, surnamed Iscariot, who was numbered among the 12. Judas is the only person whom the Bible explicitly says was possessed by Satan. Not some demon, not a legion, but by Satan. Many Bible scholars believe the Antichrist will be as well. Revelation 12:13. Both men are called the son of perdition. John 17:2, 2 Thessalonians 2 and 3. And if time permits, we may go to those scriptures. And it says this, Judas, rabbi, is not enough. Possessor of the darkest of human hearts, Judas Iscariot could never be described as godly, but his betrayal powerfully reminds us of the horrific possibilities within every human heart. While Judas called Jesus rabbi, there is no record that he used the term Lord. It has always been possible to claim allegiance to God without ever handing over the soul. When Judas approached Jesus in Gethsemane, he received one final chance to win eternal asylum. But sin had so blinded Judas that he could not see the way, the truth, and the life. His story of betrayal still resonates not only because of Judas's evil kiss, but also because we realize the wickedness of our own flesh. How many attend church regularly and give Jesus intellectual assent, but not their hearts? How many call him king only to assume their own throne? What kind of kiss do we give the Lord? And that's something to think about today. Do you give God intellectual assent? Give him your heart. Is it, I go to church, I'm there every Sunday, I usher, or I teach Sunday school, or I do something, but all during the week, I do me. I ain't got time for all that extra stuff. No, I ain't got time to go to no prayer meeting. And I don't have time to go to no extra Bible study. I come to church on Sunday, and that's enough. I don't need to be there every day. Every day they got something going on. They got this meeting. Well, this Bible study, then they got prayer meeting, and then they got this practice and that practice. Then they got midweek service. And then they got some kind of dope food stuff going on. I don't know. And then they got, here they come again with some kind of practice on Saturday. You at the doggone church every day. I ain't got time for all that. I just go on Sunday. Never thinking that all those people that are there, as they call it every day, they may be there doing their assignment. Maybe their assignment is to teach Bible study on Monday night. Maybe their assignment is to be an intercessory prayer warrior, so they're covering you. maybe that practice is so that someone can go forth in excellence on Sunday, so that you have something you can say, oh, girl, the choir was on fire today, and the band was smoking. You did not think that they had to practice. And midweek service is so that you can have an intimate Bible study and service where you can pray, you can talk, you can get all the things that you need to say out. And midweek prayer service, midweek service is like Sunday school, where you can speak, you can raise your hand, you can talk, you can give an opinion. Everything that we do in the house of God has a purpose and it has a reason. And yes, it does take all that. We got to understand we got work to do for the kingdom. Lots and lots of work to do. But we always have must in everything we do. Keep God first. You know, and I love this word that God gave me this morning. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. And that's from Proverbs. We got to keep trusting God. Keep believing and knowing that all things are working for our good because we trust in the Lord. God is good and his mercy is always enduring forever and all time. Keep God first. Know that you are sons and daughters of God, and above all, that you are loved. That's all we have this morning. If there's anyone that would like to speak, the number to dial is 213-943-3597. Again, that's 213-943-3597. If not, we will be moving forward. And I have a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And then it is a wrap because I got to go to work. And our word for this morning is simply this. Walking with God will encounter enemies. You will encounter enemies, storms, and disappointment. Just keep on walking because eventually the scenery is going to change. And I'm going to read it one more time. Good morning, walking with God. You will encounter enemies, storms, and disappointment. Just keep on walking because eventually the scenery is going to change. Have a moving on Monday, family. That's all I have today. Join me tomorrow morning as we continue in 1 Samuel, as we continue in Psalms, as we continue in Proverbs, and as we continue in Luke chapter 22. Thank you so much for joining me. Have a blessed and wonderful day. It is, as we say, on moving forward. It's a wrap, family. And may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other, in the precious and holy name of Christ Jesus. I pray over you and yours. And a special prayer, family, please keep our children in your prayers because they are going through and they need our covering and our anointing to get them through what the enemy is throwing at them from the left to the right. We got to pray that not one more child dies in a school shooting. Not one more child dies by the hands of their brothers or sisters or someone that looks like them or who is sworn to protect them. We can't blame the police for everything. We got to look at ourselves too, and that's all of us, because it's too much murders and too many crimes happening against our children, and some are by other children. So keep our children in your prayers, family, and let us move forward in our words, forward in our lives, move forward with God. Have a blessed day. It is, as we say, it's a wrap. Why? Because it's time to go to work. Love you all. Be blessed. It's a wrap.